We bring illumination. If you remember, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "The word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So today we are trusting the Lord as we start Local Series 12, Exposé 48, that every high rising building, every tower and castle built on the foundation of law of lies, deceit, and wrong belief will come crashing down today under the heavy weight of God's word.
Amen.
And, you know, it was so surprising yesterday that something could go wrong with Thanksgiving. You know, we know that maybe times and seasons, there are so many misconceptions around that. But for Thanksgiving, because we always know in the common parlance that you can pray amiss, but you can't praise amiss. Well, yesterday we found out that we can actually praise amiss. So do you want to help me in this to remind our viewers about why we are doing Local Series on Thanksgiving, particularly on Thanksgiving?
Well, viewers all over the world, thank you again for joining us on this Knockout Series. This is Knockout Series 12. Yesterday, we actually did a title that says, When Thanksgiving Goes Wrong. And you might be wondering, can Thanksgiving actually go wrong? Well, if you were with us yesterday, and if you didn't join us live, you might have a look at the video where we established from Luke chapter 18 of somebody that started his prayer by saying, "Oh God, I give you thanks." And then at the end of his prayer, Jesus' commentary was, he went away not justified. How can you go from the place of prayer not justified? Jesus said, it's possible in the place of thanksgiving, Jesus said, it's possible. So we actually did an expose on that yesterday. And we contrasted the experience of that man with the man in Luke 17, one of the 10 lepers who went back to Jesus and gave thanks. And Jesus said to him, your faith has made thee whole. It was amazing. The Luke 17 leper did not even pray. All he did was give thanks. So we contrasted the Luke 17 and Luke 18. Jesus gave us classical teachings about Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving can go wrong. You can thank God in such a way that you even lose faith. And you can thank God in such a way that you walk in faith. And we contrasted both yesterday on the last knockout that we did yesterday. So today we're making progress with that. What we actually promised yesterday after the transmission was, we said today we'll look at what is the scriptural basis for Thanksgiving. How can we thank God in such a way that imparts faith into our spirit? And that's what we're looking at today on today's knockout. And again, if you are just joining us, don't forget, again, I keep repeating this every single episode that we actually go through, that the vision behind this knockout series is simple. It is that there are practices, traditions, philosophies, and concepts that we're engaging in the body of Christ that actually stops us in our track in walking in the fullness of what Christ paid for in redemption. So those are the things we're knocking out, and those are the things we're actually making sure we push them to the background so that Christ can be the central thing about our Christian walk. And that's the reason why we are here this morning as well. And we're going to carry on this morning to say, what really is Thanksgiving? How can we engage in Thanksgiving in a way that imparts faith into our spirit? Yesterday, the last verse that we read showed us how a man gave thanks to God and he had faith
and wholeness
for wholeness. And you see, I hope we know that Jesus didn't say, "I heal you." Jesus told the man, "Your faith has made you whole." So what that simply means is we can walk in thanksgiving in such a way that impacts faith to our spirit. And that's the reason we are here this morning, to actually expose on such a type of thanksgiving. Now follow us through quickly as we begin to look at the biblical basis for thanksgiving. How can you thank God in a way that imparts faith to your spirit? That's what we are looking at this morning. So we'll look quickly at Colossians chapter 1. Let's understudy the apostolic revelation of what thanksgiving is all about and how it can be effectively used as a tool in the place of prayer to work in faith. Now, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read that, and I'm going to take it quickly I'll start from verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, you see from verse 12, it talks about giving thanks, but you see, it's very important that we look at the context of this particular verse. When I say context, which means what happens before and after this verse, what actually motivated this verse in the scripture. You see, anytime you study the scriptures, it's very hard to go wrong if you contextualize what you're studying. It means, what was the reason why it was actually written down? What was the context? What happened before and what happened after? Those are tools in the hands of any good Bible study student so that we don't interpret the scriptures amiss. So let's go quickly to that Colossians 1. Now I'm going to read, instead of starting from verse 12, which is where we talked about thanks, I'll read from verse 9. So we'll read the verses before and the verses after. Now let's go straight through that. I'll read from verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, for this cause, now that's the word, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. So the Apostle Paul is saying, there's a reason we're praying for you, Colossians, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's simply saying, we've been praying for you that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual understanding. And in verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy. Can you see that? It says, can you see first, look at verse 9, it says, first you have the knowledge of his will. And secondly, in verse 10, that you can walk worthy. Well, that tells you and I, we cannot even walk worthy of the Lord unless we know some certain things. So walking worthy of the Lord is not because you have good desires to walk worthy. You've got to be filled with the knowledge of his will first. So verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of our God. Look at verse 11. Now, don't forget, we're reading all these verses before the verse 12, which is the main verse, so that you can get the context. Now, look at verse 11. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Can you see that? It means verse 10 was saying, I pray that you walk your Christian walk in such a way that will be pleasing to God. But you see, when he said that in verse 10, he quickly added in verse 11, it's not about you wanting to walk worthy of the Lord. They say you need strength for that. Can you see that? It is not enough in the Christian walk that you have good intentions. It's not enough that you actually have a good desires to do the right thing. It takes strength. It takes capacity to do some things. I remember the story of Peter, James and John, when we were going to watch with Jesus in the place of prayer. You know, Jesus told them that you would, I mean, Jesus said to them about the fact they were going to what? They were going to actually mess up when the temptation comes. He told them about the fact that they were going to deny him. And Peter said, no, I'm not going to deny you. I've got good intentions. I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus said to them, pray so that you will not enter into what? He said, why? He said, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's no, even though you have good intentions, you don't have the strength to pull through in you. And he told them to pray, so gather the strength. So here's Apostle Paul saying, I know you, I'm praying that you should walk worthy. I'm praying that you will walk worthy, so you can please God with your life. But I also understand that you need what? You need strength. It's not about good intentions. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. It's not about good intentions. We need strength. You want to live a life that pleases God. You want to stand out for the glory of God in your generation. You need strength. You need strength in your inner man. Your intentions are great, but you need strength to pull through in the face of tension. So here comes the Apostle Paul saying to them, I pray that you walk worthy. But before I say that, I also understand the fact that you need strength to do the walking I'm talking about. So he's saying to them, now don't forget, all these are prayer points. All these prayer points seems to be on the negative, and I'll tell you why. It's like trying to pray for someone to have what they don't. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. You don't forget we are trying to contextualize thanksgiving. So it's like you're praying, you say, I pray you walk worthy, and I pray that you have the strength to do the walking. Now, don't forget all this. All this are from the negative point of view, asking them, praying for them to possess something they seem not to have. Now, if you go on, look at verse 11 again. Strengthened with all might, according to his what? Glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, as we begin to look at this, I want you to think about yourself and think about how your prayers go. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with petitioning the Father for what you don't have. You look at your life, you look at your situation, you look at your circumstances, you can say, Father, I think I need strength in this situation. I think I cannot pull through unless you help me. There is nothing wrong with that. We can see that in the scriptures where Paul was praying for the Colossian brethren to actually possess something they seem not to have on the outside. So please, can you see this is actually in consonance with what we do when we petition God for what we don't seem to see in our lives? So that means you can relate with this prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying for the Colossians. This is important. We all petition the Father. So now look at this. Look at verse 12. Here comes a switch. Now this is where, now here comes a switch. If you look at verse 12, look at this. It said, giving thanks Now, we are contextualizing things. We are bringing thanksgiving into the very limelight that the Word of God says should be given, and not the way people treat thanksgiving like we did yesterday. So please, if you're just joining us today, we would encourage you to look at the last transmission we had yesterday, where we talk about when thanksgiving goes wrong, what thanksgiving is not. Today, we are looking at what thanksgiving is. That's the focus of today. Now, again, if you're just joining us or you've been there, please don't forget what we're looking at this morning. Colossians 1, we've read from verse 9 to verse 11, and all seems to be in the negative point. When I say negative, I mean it is praying for someone to have what they don't seem to possess on the outside. So it's a negative sense. And it seems like when we pray most of the time, our prayers are always in that sense, always asking, always saying, Father, give me this. Father, I don't have this. Father, I'm asking for my children. I'm asking for my family. I'm asking for my friend. I'm asking for my job. You see, many times when we pray, it's always in that sense. And there's nothing wrong with praying in such a way, as we've seen the Apostle Paul pray for the Colossian brethren from chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Now see what happened in verse 12. It sounds to me that the Apostle changed the game in verse 12. Now watch this. Colossians 1 verse 12, I'll read. He says, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet. That's a very old English. It means who qualified us to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, can you see a switch? The switch was from, I'm praying that you walk this way. I'm praying that you have strength. That's from verse 9 to verse 11. But in verse 12, there's a sudden switch in the midst of the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Colossians. In verse 12, it says, I give thanks to the Father. Now, what have we noticed? Thanks goes to who? To the Father. Thanks is not about you. Thanks is not about your situation. Thanks is not about you walking worthy of the vocation for which God has called you. Thanks is never about you being strengthened with might. Because the prayers from verse 9 to verse 11 was about you. Again, I'll repeat. Colossians 1, 9 to 11 was about the Colossians. It was about their spiritual state. It was about their spiritual status. It was about the way they were walking before God. It was about the strength they need for life and destiny. That was verse 9 to verse 11. But if you notice in verse 12, it stopped being about them. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Verse 12, Colossians 1, 12 stopped being about the Colossians and it started to be about God. He said, giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, why will he give thanks to the Father? Paul said, I'm thanking the Father because the Father did something already. Mm. Oh, now, can you see that? This is the context of thanksgiving in the new covenant. It says, even though I'm praying, I'm petitioning the Father to give something to you. But you see, I want to give thanks to him for he already did something. Mm. You see, will you be so much consumed about what you're asking God to do that you've actually not put it in proper context of what God did already? Mm. So see, the link between what you're asking God for and what God has done, the link is thanks. That's why verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father. Now, if you follow us through, we're going to go through verse 13 and verse 14. Have you noticed, once the Apostle Paul inserted thanks in verse 12, the whole thing changing what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Watch this. He said, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us. Ain't nothing about I'm praying. Can you see the change of language? Can you see that in verse 11, it was praying that they will. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. That you will walk worthy in verse 10. And in verse 11, that you'll be strengthened. It was about I'm praying it will happen to you. But in verse 12, as soon as he mentioned, I give thanks to the Father, the next thing he said is, the Father who hath made you. Can you see that? Can you see? The only thing that changes the language of your prayer is thanks. Again, I repeat, what changes the tenses of your prayer is thanks. He said, I give thanks to the Father who hath. Can you see? Now it's about who hath made us, as opposed to verse 9, 10, 11 that says, I pray that you will be. Can you see that? You see, if from verse 9 to 11 was you will be, from verse 12 onwards, as soon as thanksgiving came into the old story, it was about God who hath made us. Who hath made us. Can you see? He said, who hath made us to be qualified to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can you see that? He said he did it already. He said, Colossians, I'm telling you that God already qualified you to partake of the inheritance in the saints. The saints have an inheritance in them. The saints, you see, Jesus, when he actually resurrected, The Bible says in Hebrews 9:14 that, see, the Bible says in Hebrews, I think chapter 9, is that unto the death of the testator, the testament does not go into effect. Yes. Jesus left a will for you and I when he died and resurrected. He left a will for us. It's called a testament. Just like a rich man who died and left his resources for his what? For his generation or for his offspring. In the same way, the Bible says Jesus left us an inheritance, and the inheritance is already in the saint. Now, it's not saying it's hanging in space on the head of the saint. It's not saying it's hanging in the by and by. He said it's inside the saint. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I don't forget one thing. I'm praying for you that you'll be strengthened with all might. But I give thanks to God that it's already in you. Now, this is what thanksgiving does. Again, we'll repeat, thanksgiving is the link, is the bridge between I'm praying that you will and I'm saying that you have. The bridge is what? Thanksgiving. See, that's what we do with thanks. Thanks is what connects the Lord, I'm praying for this, and Lord, I thank you for I have that. Thanks is the bridge, as we see in the apostolic revelation.
Yeah, you might need to clarify this to our viewers, because now it is a common knowledge in the body of Christ and in some certain places of worship that you know, they always use that, what you pray for, they use that term too. What you pray for, thanksgiving is the bridge, sort of what you have used prayer to pray for and you don't get it, you can still use, you use praise. But yeah, when you see that praise, it's just in the, it's not in the light of this. In verse 12 that you're saying that, in praises that already acknowledge that you've already had this, you're already made. But they just want to use that praise as a bait.
No,
yes, and to, you know, to just like psychophancy, head swelling, so that we make God to do what is reluctant, what he doesn't want to do. So let's just give him head swelling, let's give him psychophancy, let's try to pressure him, and they make him feel good. So they use it as a bridge, but not in the light to understand that he has already,
he said,
you have already had all the request answered, provided for. But they are using it, they still is a pathway. They even use it as the last resort. You can try fasting, you try prayer, you try some other things.
Try thanks.
No. Thanks to force his hand. Thanks to make his head swell. Some will say you make his head swell. They try to relate with what you would do. Putting the father in their own stead, that, you will appreciate somebody coming and singing your praises and everything. So even things you don't plan to do, you end up doing that because somebody is saying good things about you. Yes, head swelling and all those things. But no, that is not the
way. This is not about head swelling of God. You can't make God's head swell anyway, because why? The Bible says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, you can't change him or make him bigger or smaller or make it whatever. The fact is, this simply says when you give thanks, it's for you and not for God. The reason is you begin to come into the realization that the very thing you are asking God to strengthen you with is already an inheritance in the saints. And it says thanks is the game changer. You see that? Thanks.
You cannot use you cannot use that thanks as a bribe or a bait.
No, it's not a bait for God. It's something to revolutionize your spirit. It's for you. Thanks is for you. So that you're saying, Father, so it means the very thing I was asking for is already an inheritance in the saints. Because somebody asked a question on one of our videos. I mean, somebody said, how can I make what God has given me in Christ? Because the person heard us, we kept on saying that God has given us all we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. And the person said, well, how can I make this a reality in my life? How can I actualize? How can I make it a physical reality, what Christ has done for me? And you see, to that person asking the question, here comes the answer. The answer says, well, you know what? If you've been living in verse 9 to verse 11 of Galatians 1 in your life, where you're saying that I'm praying that I walk worthy of the vocation, I'm praying that you strengthen me with all might to live my destiny. He said, well, what you need to do is you need to make a switch in verse 12 by using thanksgiving as your what? As your gear. You see, that's where you do the switch. You know, he said, use thanksgiving by simply saying, you know what? Have you come to the realization that whatever you're asking him to release into your life is already an inheritance in the saint. Now watch this. He said, who hath made us? He didn't say he's in the process of making us. He didn't say if you pray long enough, if you convince God, if you got a prayer warriors praying for you, if you put pressure on God, if you do national day or a weekly day of prayer, or you do early morning prayers or consistent prayers, you will make God do it. No, he said, who hath made us? You were too late before you ever convinced God to make you. Bible says in Colossians 1:12, who hath made us? But it says what thanksgiving does is it brings that to focus in your life. So Sorry about that. It means thanksgiving doesn't do anything to God. Please, it doesn't even make God to be more predisposed towards you. It doesn't make God to be much more happier with you for God to say, you know what? Oh, he's actually thanking me down there. I'll bless him more now. That's what people paint the picture to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do that. What thanksgiving does? It does something to you. It makes you realize that the very thing you were asking God for was already an inheritance in the saints. And that's what Paul was praying for the Colossian brethren. He said, giving thanks to the Father. Can you see that? Who hath made us to partake. Can you see that? Who hath made us to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. Now verse 13. He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. This is amazing. This is amazing. Now the reason why he was telling them to walk worthy, he was praying for them to walk worthy, is so that they won't become a prey to the teeth of the enemy. So that they will not fall prey in this present world. That's why he was praying in verse 10, verse 11, that you walk worthy of the vocation that you have received. He told them that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But look at what he said. He said in verse 13, he said, who hath delivered us from the dominion of darkness? Can you see that? We said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Please, if you notice, you will see all these are in the past tense. All past tenses. He said, delivered us, translated us. Can you see that? Made us. Now, you see, again, it means that look at what a kind of prayer. What kind of prayer life is this? You are asking the Father to be strengthened. And also at the same time, he said, thank you for you have made us. Thank you for you have given us the dominion. Thank you for you have translated us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of your dear son. And the Bible says you can have both views in the place of prayer. Where you are petitioning the Father and at the same time you are thanking the Father for what he did in Christ. And he said the only way that can ever happen to you is to use thanksgiving as the bridge in the place of prayer. Now we can see the proper context of thanksgiving. It's all about God. And though it's all about God, it does everything in you. Not everything to God. It does everything in you. It's about God, but it does things in you. Now, before we actually finish up this Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 14, it's so meaty. There are so many things there. Before we finish that, I want you to see what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. You see, we're going to come back to this Colossians chapter 1 because we've not fully dissected it. Now, Philippians chapter 4, see the apostolic instruction about prayer. Now, if you read from verse 6, what does it say, please?
Be careful for nothing.
It said, don't be anxious about anything.
But in everything by prayer.
Don't forget, you see, this anxiety and being careful was the very same thing that Christ addressed in Matthew chapter 6 about not getting worried up about life. You see, it's simply saying, I think the reason, you see, every time the Bible talks about not being anxious, it's about what you don't have. Have you noticed? Yeah. Because Matthew 6 says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. What you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. And for some, it's about, even it's more than that, for some, it's about the fact that what would kill me. I mean, I don't want this to kill me. I don't want to be,
identity, I want to be status.
There's so many, and Bible says,
so many hierarchy of needs.
Don't be anxious about anything. Don't let anxiety take the better part of you. Now, it's going to tell us what to do, because if you tell me what not to do, you should tell me what to do. Now, what does it say, please?
Be careful for nothing.
Okay.
But in everything.
Now in everything, not some of the things. In everything, in every situation. Yeah, go on please.
By prayer.
And supplication.
With thanksgiving.
Now you see, if you have some other versions, it says with petition. Now, so we know when it says with petition, with prayer, that prayer there is petition, which means instead of you getting worried up about anything, I'm simply saying that you've petitioned the Father for the very thing you think is lacking in your life. That's why James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if anybody lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask from God that gives liberality to men. So instead of you getting worried about it, why don't you ask God for it? That's petition. And you see, that's again taking us all the way back to Colossians 1, 9 to 11. That's what is there. He says, petition the Father. Why are you anxious about it? Why are you so worried up about protection? Why are you so worried about security of your life and of your children? Why are you so worried up? Just ask the Father. He said, ask the Father. And he says, now, the fact is, he's not just saying ask the Father for in petition and supplication. What did he say next?
With thanksgiving.
He said, before you finish asking, because don't forget, don't just stop at Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Please go to verse 12. That's what he's simply saying to you. Because you see, many people in the place of prayer, they just actually end with prayer and supplication, or as it were, they start Colossians chapter 1 and they go from verse 9 to verse 11 and they stop. It says, no, don't do that. You have to do it with thanksgiving. You need to bring yourself to the consciousness that the very thing you're asking God for, Christ already made us. That's why it says with thanksgiving. It has to be with. It's not optional. It has to be with thanksgiving. In fact, it sounds to me like somebody who is actually designing a cake. And you see, when you put something, it has to be. It doesn't make it complete. And the reason why he said that is because if he says, make prayers and supplications, and it stops there, you are in the negative. That's the problem. Because you are believing that you don't have. And you are asking the Father. You are petitioning the Father. And if you've been with us in the past 25 or 20 minutes that we've started, I will simply state it, there's nothing wrong with asking the Father for anything. Because the Apostle Paul himself, in Colossians 1:9-11, he prayed for them that we walk worthy of the vocation that he have received. He prayed for them that they will be strengthened with all might. There's nothing wrong with starting your prayer from the negative sense of saying, Father, give me because I think I don't have. But there's everything wrong if after your petition and supplication, there was no thanksgiving with it. It means you never got to Colossians 1:12 in the midst of your prayer. It says, with thanksgiving. What is the next thing it says?
And the peace of God.
It says, make your what?
Oh, and let you, with thanksgiving, let your request be known, be made known unto God.
It means as you're making your request to the Father, can you see that? In prayer and what? Supplication. Now, with thanksgiving, you are simply, Father, I thank you for you have made me to partake of inheritance. Because, you see, anytime you give thanks, it switches focus from your prayer point and switches focus to what God did in Christ Jesus. Again, let's put this straight again. Anytime you put thanksgiving in your prayers, at the end of your prayers, if you do it in the way, the apostolic way of thanksgiving, what it does is it takes the your focus away from what you're talking about and puts your focus on God who hath made you to partake of the inheritance of the saints in life. For example, if what you are concerned about in your request to God is to say that you don't have, Father, please bless me this year. That's the negative sense. But when you give thanks, Father, I thank you for you have given me all that I need for life and godliness. If what you were petitioning the Father for was for security, you say, Father, there are so many dangerous people on the road today. There are so many dangerous people killing people today. So many things are happening beyond people's control and you are scared. Now, if that's what you are praying to the Father for, the Bible says in Colossians 1:13, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So it means you are asking God for protection, and at the same time you are bringing to your own understanding the fact that you have been delivered from the dominion of the evil one. You see, only thanks can do that simultaneously. Only thanks can take your petition.
The New Testament
thanksgiving takes you, and see, it takes you from asking, and at the same time brings in focus to you what you already have. Only thanks can do that if it's done in the New Testament way. So here Paul says, I'm asking you to petition God for your need, but I'm also asking you to do thanks in the midst of it as well. I'm asking you to do thanks because thanks will, you see, one of the reasons, and we need to say this, one of the reasons why at times some problems in our lives look so big is simply because of the kind of focus we put on them. You see, when we focus on things, we can expatiate them or we can diminish them. And that's why it simply says, when you've petitioned the Father, be quick to do thanks. And you see, you cannot do thanks in the New Testament way unless you go through Colossians 1:12-14. That's the New Testament thanksgiving. Yesterday, we've established a fact. Thanksgiving is not comparison. Again, we need to reiterate that. Thanksgiving is not comparison, like thanking the Father, say, Father, oh God, I thank you, I'm not like that person. Oh God, I thank you that even many people cannot heat, and I'm heating. Oh God, I thank you, many are in the hospital, I'm not in the hospital. Now, that's not New Covenant thanksgiving. That is what Jesus condemned, such kind of mentality, in the book of Luke chapter 18. You can check out the parable. We've done an expose on this already. But what is New Covenant thanksgiving? That's what we have been revealing today in the scriptures. We've gone through Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 up to verse 13. And again, we're reading through Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 down to verse 7. Can you continue, please?
Philippians 4
that we've been reading.
Verse 7. And the peace of God,
okay,
which passeth all understanding,
okay,
shall keep your hearts.
Can you see that? Again, you see, he said the peace, he said, if you do with thanksgiving, can you see that? Now, you see, it sounds to me that Apostle Paul, by the revelation of the Spirit, is like a wise master builder. It's just like when you're building a house, you know, you're laying the blocks. He's simply saying, when you're laying the blocks of prayer and supplication, don't forget to insert what? Thanksgiving there. Do Colossians 1:12. He said, well, if you do that and you put everything in context, he said, what happens is the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your heart. Yes. It's not keeping God's heart. Again, we see in the New Covenant that thanksgiving doesn't do anything. He said, again, this is actually knocking out That mentality that people have in the body of Christ today, where you think anytime I give thanks to God, it will provoke God to react on my behalf. It will provoke God to release. They say when praises what? Go up, blessings come what? Down. Where do you find that in the scriptures? People use verses in the book of Psalms that says that God inhabits what? The praise of his people. Unfortunately, we're not going to even begin to dissect that kind of verse anyway, because the realities you can see in this place. He said when you do your prayer and your supplication, he said with thanksgiving, what happens is because as you are thanking God, you are saying, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for you have given me all I need for life and godliness. Father, I thank you that Jesus became a propitiation for my sin, that he that knew no sin was made sin for me so that I can become the righteousness of God in him. Father, I thank you for every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning. You will not change your mind about me. See, when you begin to give thanks, the Apostle Paul says by the Spirit of grace, that peace of God comes into your heart. You are the one that needs the peace, not God. So thanksgiving does nothing to God, and it does everything to your spirit, man. And that's what we're talking about.
Yes, we have to dissect that verse. There's no particular verse that we say we will not dissect. That okay. Will say that when praises God inhabit the praises.
Okay, good.
Because this is not that serious. We're not going to discountenance any verse.
That's amazing. Now, let's just say this. You see, what it says, when it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, he does, as we know, as we fully understand, that the Bible says God doesn't dwell anymore in physical temples. Yeah. That's what it says in the book of in the New Covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, you understand that when Solomon built the temple, and when all those old sages, when Abraham built the altar, every time they built all this thing, because God, as at that time, was dwelling in axe mixed with ants. Even don't forget that even Solomon even said it himself when we were opening the temple. He said, we know that God is so mighty and so great that we cannot confine him into any physical edifice. Even as at that, the reality is the way God dwells in the new covenant is not the same way he dwells in the old covenant. Yeah. We understand that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if God was ever going to arise, if God was ever going to move, it's in your temple, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible says we should stir up ourselves in the Holy Ghost. It means when you praise, when you praise God, and when you give thanks to God, something happens in your spirit. Your spirit is stirred up. Hello? Your spirit man is what? Stirred up. You see, Paul told Timothy, he said, fire into flame the gift of God that was given to you by the laying of hands of the presbytery. Fire into flame. It means then, if God surely dwells in you, you are the temple of the Spirit of God. Anytime you praise God, what happens is, you are what? You are lifting up your own what? Spirit. And that's why you see in this Philippians 4, it says, if you do thanksgiving, the peace of God will guide your heart. Something happens. So God in you, God in your spirit, the Lord in your spirit is actually stirred up in your heart when you praise. That's what it says. It's not saying that anytime you praise God, then something, God throws something down from heaven to you. Because of course, we are not in the old covenant. We're in the New Testament, where you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and not a physical building. And if you understand that, you have to interpret when it says, God inhabits what? The praises of his people. That's why the Bible says, with joy, you will draw water from the well of what? Yes. Salvation. The well is not hanging in space. It's your spirit, man. And that's why the Bible says in John chapter 7, he says, Jesus said to them that believe on him, Acts John 7, he said what? He said, if anybody believes on me, out of his what?
As the scripture has said,
out of his belly shall flow rivers. It's coming from your belly, from your spirit, from your heart. It's not coming from space. So if God surely inhabits the praise of what? His people. It means anytime you praise, anytime you give thanks, your spirit man is what? Is stirred up. The God in you is stirred up. That's what it's simply saying. And you see, that is in agreement with Philippians 4, 6, 7. Because Philippians 4, 6, 7 says what? He says, when you give thanks, he said, offer prayers, supplication with what? Thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guide what? Your heart. So we can simply say that anytime you praise, anytime you give thanks, God in you is stirred up. Something happens to your heart, something happens to your spirit, and that's what it's simply saying. So again, that reinforces what we've said about the fact that thanksgiving does nothing to God. It does everything to your spirit. Your spirit is stirred up. Don't forget, the Bible simply says in 1 Corinthians 6, if anybody is joined to the Lord, is one spirit within. So it means that when your spirit gets stirred up, God in you gets stirred up. And that's what you have to notice there. So we're simply saying this, that thanksgiving is the connection point between you asking in the negative what you don't have and that which God gave you in Christ Jesus. And you see, the reason, this takes all the way back to what we said yesterday, which we didn't clarify properly, in Luke 17. Now, this is making a lot of spiritual sense. In Luke 17, about the 10 lepers, you know, when one of them came back to Jesus, you know, the 10 lepers were healed of their leprosy. Yeah. In Luke 17, they were healed of their leprosy, but only one of them came back to give thanks to God. And Jesus replied and made a commentary about what he has, what the leper who was healed, what he did. Jesus said, on the basis that you give thanks, now we know what he must have said. He said, before, yesterday, we didn't have the full understanding of what he said, but now we know what he must have said. Because in the New Testament, we now see what thanksgiving is. As in Colossians, you see, you can read Colossians chapter 4, chapter 3, all over the New Testament scriptures. Thanksgiving has only one connotation. It is to come into agreement of what God already provided for us in Christ Jesus. Now we know what the man must have said, because the Bible didn't tell us what he said before. He must have talked about the fact that, I thank you. I know what you have given me. I know what you have released and provided for me already. Now, based on what he said in Luke 17, Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now we understand the reason why the Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, anytime you do prayers and supplication, always make sure it goes with thanksgiving. You know why? So that faith can be imparted into your spirit. Because there's no way you're asking God for protection from the evil one, and you then say, thanks be to God, as you see in Colossians 1, 12, who hath delivered me from the dominion of what? Darkness. There's no way you can say that and faith will not arise in your spirit to respond to the protection that God has provided for you already in Christ Jesus. There's no way you can say those things. There's no way you can give thanks. Thanksgiving makes faith to spark up in your spirit. And if you're just joining us, or you were with us yesterday, let us reiterate this again and again. The reason why we are so concerned about thanksgiving is that being a very great tool in the spirit is a tool, if not abused, can actually make us to build up our faith to receive from God.
Yes, I just hope our viewers, they can see clearly, even with their eyes and their hearts, to know the difference now. And then to know that there is no way, you know, there is no practical way anybody can do the New Testament thanksgiving without having the New Testament attitude. You know, not, you can't do it without having, living the New Testament reality. You know, that we have, there must be a thanksgiving.
Yeah.
For you to be able to do the thanksgiving, the correct biblical thanksgiving. So there must be a living, living the reality of the New Testament. So you cannot just say, today I'm going to get the thanksgiving aspect right, and I'm not going to get the other things right. Because you can't do that thanksgiving, this new biblical thanksgiving, the New Testament thanksgiving, without, we can't do it without understanding that you've already been, he has provided this, that all these things are done, the past participle of God's word is done, you have been translated, you have been delivered, you're already made. So that's, it's not that you're praying to be
you're
made.
Asking God to, no, you're asking God to make you, and you're taking him for already made you. That's Colossians 1, 9 to 13. Please, you need to read it. It's a switch. It tells us the powerful weapon of thanksgiving in the place of prayer.
So the thing, you can never do it right unless you know you are living that reality, the New Testament reality of knowing that what he has done. So if you are not fully convinced that you are already made, how can you make a thanksgiving on that? How can you, your thanksgiving would not be in that line. Some still do that thanksgiving. They do thanksgiving, but they do the thanksgiving in the hope that as a bait that will make me. So let me use it to pull him out. So let him use it that he feels so too impressed, and then he's out of himself, you know, just he cannot, you know, you bring it to that state, drunken stupor state, that he doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. So he just, you sing his praise, he doesn't know what he's doing, also he can give you what he does not plan to give you. So in the first place,
you can just place like to God and,
setting him as a trap. You know, you use thanksgiving as bait, as a trap to bring him out to do what he would not have done naturally. But you know, but if you live in the New Testament reality, which you know, and what we're talking about yesterday, and what we've been talking about from the days of Prodigal Father series, from all the knockout series, that is on the foundation of knowing the grace of God, whichever way, it still comes down.
So you're even making a petition to
even when you're making
petition, you are making it with thanksgiving. That I thank you for what you provided for me in Christ Jesus. See, you cannot make thanksgiving by looking at yourself. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's what we said was wrong with the thanksgiving, what we discussed about yesterday, that in most of the thanksgiving that people give today in places of worship, they are too much focused on us.
Yeah.
You see, we're thanking God because I bought a new car this year. I'm giving thanks to God because I know that I had a better lot last year than my neighbor. You see, when all these thanksgiving are too much focused on us, they deprive us of faith. Like you saw yesterday, the Luke 18 man, Bible said he left the place of thanksgiving and he wasn't even justified. And that's what we reiterated yesterday.
Even so, some even go to the extent that even when they're giving the thanksgiving, they tell them to give thanksgiving based on, you will not get a new one if you are not going to thank the one you saw yesterday. So actually, you're not going to get a new thing.
That sounds like thanking a God who keeps changing. And that's against James 1:17.
So you're not going to get a new thing. You're not going to get a new thing until you praise for the one you get. So they actually have to look into what they can physically see. Oh, did I see the new car? The car that I had yesterday. Did I see the new thing that came in? The new thing.
Mm.
So all their thanksgiving is only focused on what they can physically see.
Around.
So they because that is what is drawing them to see. So okay. Thank him for that car, so you can get another new one. And if you don't do that thanksgiving for that car, you don't get a new one. If you don't do thanksgiving for because of that child that he gave you, you can't get another one. So it's still based on the physical things in the Old Testament of what you see.
That's not covenant thanksgiving.
Yes.
Not at all.
Because in the New Testament, we have to make you to see what the inheritance in the saints. That is which is inside of you.
Your spiritual sight must be open to know what you have to delve into what Christ did. Onto what the translation he did. He translated us. He delivered us. Can you see that? And all that, you need to think about them, meditate on them, and talk about them in the place
and
of prayer.
And you need to be fully convinced that he has already accomplished that in you.
Amen.
You need to know that there is an inheritance in the saints, you know, and that you have that conviction that you cannot be shaken off.
Mm-hmm.
There is an inheritance in saints. You must understand that that joy is inside of you. You don't understand? So you have to draw it. You really must be convinced. You have come to that place of conviction that that thing is inside of you. He has done it in you. He has already translated you. So even when you are making the request, you are making requests in the full knowledge that you have already accomplished it in you. So you are not making a request and giving thanksgiving in a way to make him do what he has not done.
That's the part. Apple say that
get him to do what he's not planning to do.
No, you're not giving thanksgiving.
It's not about getting him to do what he does not want to do. What he has made clear, you know, but we want to force his hand.
So if you thank him enough,
we can force his hand.
He can change his mind.
We can force his hand. So we want to thank him to change his mind, to force his hand to do it. And put pressure, just like people put pressure in giving on him to make him do. So you can too put pressure on him by thanksgiving. You know, you can put pressure by prayer. You can put pressure by thanksgiving also. So, but it still boils down to us understanding this New Testament living. It's a New Testament thanksgiving, like New Testament living, it's like thanks living. You just have to live in that reality, live in that realm of knowing that by his grace, he has given you all this. Even in the place of prayer, you cannot just stay outside. Outside the realm and the bandwidth of his grace, of the full knowledge of his grace, that he has done it. He already, what you are asking for is already done already.
So you are asking for it and
what
you're saying, thank you, it's already done.
You're asking for what is already done.
Only thanksgiving can do that.
New Testament thanksgiving.
Colossians 1, that's what we encourage you to have an expose on Colossians 1 from verse 9 to verse 13. And you see, the Bible says, out of the matter of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. Of course, there are so many scriptures in the New Testament that talk about thanksgiving. We cannot even exhaust them all. But a singular theme runs through all of them. Even if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when it says, in all things, give thanks. Now, the reason why he said in all things is that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to know what God did, now, when we say this is the will of God, people think that what he's saying is, do something that God will be happy about in your problem. Well, that's not what it says.
They say will of God, just accept it like that.
No.
That's right. Some people interpreted that verse to me. This is the will of God. Even though they have not even found out whether it is the will of God. They're like, just thank anyhow. You must just thank anyhow. It shows you must also understand what is the will of God.
That's the point.
You need to understand what is
the will of God
in the New
Testament. The will of God is everything he did in Christ. I mean, everything he did in Christ. He said, who delivered you from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, God who at sundry times in diverse manners has spoken to us by the prophet, but in this last days God already spoke through his son. It means that God will never change. Everything I did in Christ Jesus, if you believe in Christ Jesus, your sins were forgiven. If you believe in Christ Jesus, that he destroyed the works of the devil through the death of Jesus. If you believe in Christ Jesus, God already has favor upon you and accepted you because Jesus was condemned on the cross. Now, he says God already spoke to us about his will using Christ Jesus as the instrument of his voice. So in simply terms, he's simply saying, anytime you are in the midst of any circumstance, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, in all those circumstances, always give what? Give thanks to God. He said, look and meditate upon what God already accomplished so that you can take your focus from the circumstances and put your focus on what? On God. Now the question is, you want to ask me, why did I have to put my focus on God when there are what? Obvious what? Circumstances. Now Luke 17 will speak to you about the leper. He said, as soon as the leper gave thanks, faith was imparted to him. It means if you switch your focus onto God to see what God did already, even before you had the circumstance, what happens to you is faith is born in your spirit to walk in victory in that circumstance. Can you see that? It's a divine orchestration. It's divine mathematics. That's how it works. So that's it.
And then you are very right about what you said about the common theme running through all the scriptures, even the scripture that we will not be able to talk about all through the New Testament. That is the same common theme. So we encourage you, you know, what this verse is about is not just about spoon feeding you about what all the scriptures. And though we try to link the scriptures for you, but we are pushing you to the place of your personal private study so that you can go and consider and see whether these things are so. And that brings to light that Thessalonian verse that you are talking about. That you see the common theme of knowing what the will of the Lord. You can never thank aright in the New Testament without knowing what the will of the Lord is. So if you already don't know what the will of God, you cannot discern. You have not come to that discernment. You have not matured in place of study and prayer to know what exactly is his will. And if you have been tossed and people can, you can be tossed by testimony of what people said is working. And so, oh, this one is working. So let me apply it. Somebody said he applied the praise and I shouted 70 hallelujahs. Granted this, I will grant this, and you don't know what it is. And some even are even confused about what is his will. They don't even know in that situation, but they cannot decide, is it the will of the Lord? Is it because of my own foolishness? Is it because I'm not standing in faith? They don't even know. They thought, even when it was the enemy, they thought it was God, and even when it was themselves, the consequences here. You know, it really comes to a place of maturity, and nobody can do this hard job of you knowing of that discernment. For you, you need to sit down to know what is his will. Because you cannot do the New Testament thanksgiving without knowing what the will of the Lord is.
And if you want to know what God's will is, go and find out the implication of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. What's the implication of it in your life? The Bible says God has spoken to us through his son. He has actually said everything he would say about your destiny through Jesus
and
Christ.
And part of his will is to know what he has said, that he has made you.
He has translated you. And he has delivered you.
Yes, he is dwelling. The joy that you are looking for, the presence of God that you are looking for, that you want to go into a place, is inside of you. You know, it's inside of you. You say that is a wellspring of life inside of you, and that is what his will is. You have a lot to look into, you have a lot to go and dissect, to go and to have discernment to know what it is. It is in that light when you understand what the will of the Lord is, and when you know by his grace, that's where you can have a right focus. You know, you can have the alignment of your vision into what is right, and you'll be able to take it away from the prevailing circumstance and be able to fix it on him, because you know in the New Testament, knowing that the will of the Lord and what he has done, and so you can put your eyes off those and put it where it should be, which is on God and what he has done.
Faith comes back to your heart. That's the point. Like the Luke 17 man, once you do, faith arises in you for wholeness. Can you see that? We're not teaching some kind of Buddhist or some kind of, I mean, Buddhistic tendency or some kind of meditation tactics or saying, put your mind on God. All those things don't have any power in them. We are not talking about powerlessness. We're talking about power, because as soon as you switch your heart onto God, he said the reason why the Apostle Paul began to switch from verse 9 to 11, he started to switch in verse 12 onto thanks. The reason he was doing that, he was trying to access the power to cause the change. He was praying for the Colossians in verse 9 to 11 of chapter 1 of the book of Colossians. So what we're saying is, once you make a switch, what happens is you are able to receive and respond to what God already did, and that's faith. That's why this man in Luke 17, Bible says, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And all he did was give thanks. Can you see that? We're not just simply saying, begin to meditate on God so that your problems look small, so that you can adapt to your problem. No. What we are simply saying is that anytime you switch from Colossians 1, 9 to 11, and you switch from verse 12 in thanks, What simply happens is you are able to respond to what God already did. And that actually makes faith to be battered in your spirit to cause a change in your circumstance. Can you see that? So in the end result, it's about something changing around you. And that's the whole point.
Oh, and you're right about that again. Mm. Because we are not just inviting the people to God to partake of the psychological effect of being optimistic.
No.
And then of just being the gratitude. You know, there's a level of just being grateful.
No, this is power release.
If you do that, then you know you can, you know, it's better off. Then we know it has some little effect and everything. Just give you some mood change and the rest. We are not talking about just the physical benefits of gratitude or something like that. We have something deeper here. Because we saw in that Luke 17, the guy went from being cleansed to wholeness.
Because
he
turned.
Yes. We are talking about where you can build faith. You know, you want to build
your faith. Has made you whole, your faith.
So you want to build faith. Mm. You want wholeness. You just don't want one aspect just getting right. Mm-hmm. You want your spirit, soul, and body be presented, preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord. You want power in the place. You know, you want power. We are talking about that. And that's where you are talking about the New Testament. We are just not letting you to have the psychological effect of gratitude or optimistic, being optimistic and just look at the bright side. That's not what
we
are doing.
Look at what God did and don't bother about your circumstance.
Yes, or look at what, look on the bright side of things, all those things. We are talking something deeper. We are talking of
this
bonus.
Is not psychology. This is power release. This is how to build up faith in the place of prayer.
We are not talking about the motivational aspect of Thanksgiving for you to come to that place of wholeness. I know you really want to come to the place of wholeness. I really want to come to the place of faith. You want to build up muscles. You know, that's what strengthen with might. And how can you do that? By Thanksgiving, the New Testament Thanksgiving way.
Mm-hmm.
That is thanksgiving, because you just have to stay perpetually that way with that attitude. You know, you bring in that attitude, you stay perpetually in it. So you cannot be and say you want to be in the Old Testament and know the will of God and stay in that way and say you want to do the New Testament Thanksgiving. It's not possible, because it's an attitude, it's a way of life. You just have to choose to know what the will of the Lord is and walk in it in every aspect, be it in prayer, petition, and in thanksgiving. And that is what we are doing today.
Amen.
And I hope that you are blessed by it. Do you want to add any other thing?
Yeah, we have a bit more time, isn't it? Because there's like I said, the Bible says, after the matter of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. Let's look at the man, Abraham, quickly, who is actually going to actually reiterate what we've just talked about.
Okay.
Do we still have a bit more time?
We have like 5 minutes or 7 minutes.
Yeah, we can run that quickly. Now, Romans chapter 4, from verse 17, see what it says. It said, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
That's concerning Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So God already spoke something about Abraham in the past. God says, I've made you. Now see, and because again, like I said, somebody was asking us the question, how can you walk in the physical reality of what God already made you? Now, here's your answer again. Can you see that? Then verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, you see, Abraham is fighting here. It's a fight. It's actually fighting for survival, fighting to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, I'm reading Romans 4, verse 20. He said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. So can you see that again?
Thanksgiving was sandwich.
Again, we see the connection between being able to build up faith and what? Thanks. He said he was not weak in faith. He was rather strong in faith, giving thanks. Some other version of the Bible says giving glory now to God. Again, here we come again. The reason why we are picky about Thanksgiving. You're wondering, why are they talking about Thanksgiving out of every issue which talk about? They're never talking about deliverance. They're even talking about this and that. Thanksgiving. Why are you talking about Thanksgiving? Oh, now you see why we're talking about Thanksgiving. That if Thanksgiving is done in the New Covenant context, it is a tool for building up faith. It's a tool. That's why you cannot afford to tank wrong. That's why yesterday we titled our knockout series, When Thanksgiving Goes Wrong. You cannot afford to tank wrong. You can actually tank wrong. You can praise and miss. People say you can't praise and miss. It's a lie. You can praise and miss. We saw that yesterday. Please go and watch that particular transmission. But the fact is, if Thanksgiving is done in the right context, it's an effective tool for building up your faith. He says, Abraham, all he did was, he just gave thanks. Bible says, now, you see, the question is, What was the wording of his thanksgiving? What was he saying? Watch out. Watch out in the next verse. Look at the next verse. It says, and being fully persuaded.
See that? Again.
That's what thanksgiving does to you.
You understand?
Let's go all the way to Philippians 4, 6, 7. It says, do not be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will do something to you. We guard your heart. It's about you. The Bible says when Abraham gave thanks, verse 21 says, Abraham was the one that was persuaded. God wasn't the one who was persuaded
to bless him.
God wasn't persuaded to bless him because in verse 17, it said, God already said, I made you. See, this context in the church that says that when you give thanks to God, God will be motivated to give more to you. It's a lie. God doesn't get motivated with your thanks. It's a big lie. It's not in the scriptures. It might be the way God reacted in the Old Testament, but not in the New Covenant. God already told Abraham in Romans 4, 17, I made you a father of many nations. It was Abraham that needed to be persuaded, not God. And what the thanks did for him in verse 20, the Bible said he gave thanks to God.
And he was persuaded.
Verse 21, be fully persuaded. See, thanksgiving persuades you. That now we know the reason why Paul in Colossians 1 from verse 9, after he prayed for the Colossian brethren, then he said, let's not convince you. So actually, the thanks in verse 12 of Colossians was to persuade the Colossian brethren. That was the reason. It was them that needed persuasion, not God. Now, this is the reason why we have done this knockout series on thanksgiving. God bless you.
And then we see that in that same Philippians 4. So we are just encouraging you to switch to the New Testament way of thanksgiving. And so if you are blessed by this, we would like you to share this around with all your contacts so that they can be blessed the same way and you can speak the same language like them, making communication easier. And so if you have any questions and comments, we want to tell those people that are asking some of those questions. Some of those questions are answered in the other episode. So it's better for you to go to our page, Expose 247. You might really find the answers to some of your questions. So, and just like we said yesterday, we have a ministration today in Charlie. So we just hope that if you can join us on the live transmission.
Yeah, we ministry today at Chapel House Christian Fellowship in Charlie, Lancashire. So if you're in Lancashire and Greater Manchester region, you can join us for that live ministration in the church. But also, if you're not able to join us, if you're far away, you can join us live. I think it'll probably be around 11:30 roughly.
Yes, so if you can make it around 11:30, you can connect back and you can connect to us on Expose page 247 or any of our individual page, Facebook page to do that. And then if you are not, you can still find it anytime in the week on our page. And then we can still meet again to next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. and Sunday, 9 p.m. UK time to continue on the knockout series. So stay blessed and keep sharing and living the faith. Bye.
God bless you. Bye.